This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The presidential political season is closer than you think. Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary next month. War continues to be an issue. Amazingly, perhaps, I mean not just Iraq, but also Vietnam. That may be inevitable with so many baby boomers running. Last week, retired General Wesley Clark, who did serve in Vietnam, sniped at former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, who did not. The governor discussed his medical deferment in a recent debate among the Democratic candidates.
Look, I did not serve in Vietnam. I was given a deferment by the United States government because they did not feel they wanted me in the Army. Dick Gephardt didn't serve in Vietnam. Joe Lieberman didn't serve in Vietnam. John Edwards didn't serve in Vietnam. None of us up here except for General Clark served in Vietnam and Senator Kerry. I told the truth. I fulfilled my obligation. I took a physical. I failed the physical. If that makes this an issue, then so be it.
Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean. Joining me to talk about the legacy of Vietnam for politicians of our generation is my fellow baby boomer and Slate founding editor, Michael Kinsley. Mike, this spectrum of candidates that we can talk about, there's General Clark, there's Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, there's Howard Dean, who I would say was a Vietnam avoider, and then let's not forget there's also President Bush.
Alex, the behavior of men, it was only men, of course, during the Vietnam era who faced the draft, ran a spectrum from evasion, which would mean going off to Canada or something, which I don't think anyone who did that will ever be a candidate for president, to avoidance, which means using legitimate means to avoid service, rather like taxes. Howard Dean walked into his draft physical with an X-ray showing he had a bad back. He later went skiing for a year, so that looks a little suspicious, but that was well within the bounds of normal behavior. There's doing nothing. And keep in mind that 90% of the draft-age males in the Vietnam era never went to Vietnam, and something like 80% never had military service at all. Not because they were trying to do anything active to avoid it, most of them, but because they weren't needed. And the military actually was doing many things to prevent people from serving because they simply didn't need them. Then, beyond doing nothing, you have people who were drafted and then people who actually enlisted.
Yes, that's for military service. There's also perhaps another category, people who joined military units where their chances of actually getting into combat would be extremely low, and I would place President Bush in this category. He joined the Texas Air National Guard. Many other people joined various reserves.
President Bush, like Dan Quayle, joined the State National Guard. Any claim that you joined the National Guard in order to serve your country during Vietnam does not accord with the memory of anyone who actually lived through that time. If you wanted to serve your country in that war because you believed in it, there were ways of doing it.
In fact, the majority of draft-age men during the time of the Vietnam War did not serve. So Howard Dean, the Vermont governor, he's not at all out of the mainstream, is he?
No, I think this is something to keep in mind when you're trying to think this through. Whether you served your country in its time of trouble is an important moral question that I think anyone should meet, certainly someone who's running for president. But the Vietnam War was different from World War II, for example, in a couple of ways. Number one, as you say, most people did not serve, and it wasn't because they avoided service. It was because they simply weren't needed, and you didn't have to do much to avoid service. If you were married for a while, if you went to divinity school, if you went to graduate school at all, ultimately they switched to a lottery system, which was designed to get rid of most of the population because they didn't need people. That complicates things. And the other complication is, although it was controversial at the time, the Vietnam War, in retrospect, there is widespread agreement, was at best a bad mistake and at worst something much worse than that. So another important question is, what did you do to oppose that war at the time?
But maybe the real question, Mike, is, why does Vietnam still matter so much for the men of this generation that it's just going to come back out? I mean, nobody's asking, what did you major in college, or what about your first marriage? It's this issue.
Well, there's a great Episcopal hymn, "Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide." this was our moment, our generation. And I wonder, Alex, whether we're arguing and the people who are younger than us and older than us are bored by that argument and aren't really all that interested.
It's just a baby boomer question.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that, and I don't actually know the answer to what's the right thing to do. You know, I was in the Army. I went to Vietnam as a soldier. I came back from Vietnam and joined the anti-war movement and was one of the leaders of the Vietnam Moratorium Committee in Washington, D.C. for a couple of years.
Well, Alex, you are completely covered. You got it right on both sides. I basically had a high lottery number, 278. That's something our generation will probably be unique in. We will remember our lottery numbers.
You know, this question, what you did, seems so momentous now, and it seemed important at the time. I mean, obviously, you were going to go or you were not going to go. It was going to be a major interruption in your life. Still, back at that time, I would not have guessed that 35 years later, we'd still be talking about this, and then it would be a factor in a presidential campaign, would you?
Well, back at that time, as I remember it, things were so tumultuous that I had the feeling, and I think most people, even those who weren't all that active in the anti-war movement, as I wasn't, had a feeling that the country and the culture were undergoing such a tumultuous change that life was going to be different somehow in ways we couldn't predict. And the idea that you would worry about the impact of your decisions today on what was going to be happening 35 years later would have seemed nutty. But that was wrong. Life continued more or less as it had always, although the war did have some impact on our culture. And these questions do come back to haunt people.
Are we ever going to get beyond this, do you think? Could Vietnam become as irrelevant as, hey, did you ever smoke pot, which seemed like a big question 20 years ago and not so big now?
I think we will only get around it actuarially, which means that our generation will get too old to be presidential candidates. And that's not actually that far away, I'm sorry to tell you, Alex. I think we've got one or two more elections where this will be an issue. And then the youngest of the Vietnam generation will be hitting 60, 65, and no one will be interested in our views. And certainly no one will be interested in any of us as a possible president.
And the younger generation is going to have to sit around listening to us gas on about this any longer.
You're darn right. That's our privilege.
Michael,
and if they're bored by it, it's too damn bad.
Michael Kinsley is Slate's founding editor. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Alex.